Good morning. Welcome to worship with Greystone Baptist Online. If you are our guest this morning, if this is your first time worshiping with us on our YouTube channel, we want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here. We hope that you will expand our relationship by checking us out online at www.greystonechurch.org or by visiting one of our social media pages. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram. At Greystone, all people are welcome. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter which political party you associate with. It doesn't matter what you do in your professional time or in your spare time. We are glad to be together, and we are honored to welcome anyone who comes to walk the journeys of life and faith alongside us and in this beloved community. Today, as we gather for worship, we are reading from Philippians chapter 2, a pretty well-known piece of scripture. A letter from Paul written to his beloved church at Philippi, reminding the believers there, those early Christians, that unity was the most important thing. And not just any unity, but being in the same mind of Christ. Humble, loving, compassionate, and self-emptying. And so today, as we prepare for worship, our prayer sounds a lot like the hymn that we will read in just a few moments from Scripture. Let's take a moment and pray together. Almighty God, today as we gather from our homes, from our personal spaces, we gather to worship you, and we trust that somehow, some way in your mystery, you will unite us together with threads of love and hope and joy and mercy and forgiveness, and perhaps most of all, humility. Loving God, as we enter into this time of worship today, we ask that you give us the mind of Christ, that you drive away any sense of selfish ambition, that you fill us with compassion and love, and make us your humble servants. God, we ask that in all that we do, in all that we desire, that it's pleasing to you through Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Christ to you, pray that I may have so good to see you this morning. Our scripture today comes from the second chapter of the book of Philippians. This book was a letter written to the church of Philippi. Their friend was reminding them that even though he didn't live there anymore and he wasn't right there with them, that he wanted them to continue living the way that he showed them to live and the way that he taught them. He wanted them to remember all of the lessons that they had learned about God and Jesus and how to be kind to one another. A really important lesson that he wanted to remind them of was to think about others and to always make sure that you're thinking about the other person's feelings when you are making your decisions about how you act with your body and with your words. As I read the scripture, I remembered a song that I learned when I was about your age. It was called Simple Things. And it talked about how sometimes the simple things are the hardest things to do. Taking the smallest piece of cake when the plate comes to you, or to give your cup of water to someone else when you're thirsty too, but they might be even thirstier. And I think that's what he was trying to remind our friends in Philippi about, that sometimes those things that help other people feel good, they're kind of simple things, but they're also kind of hard things. But they're things that I think, if we feel the love in our heart and we think about the other person's feelings while we're making our choices, I think we can all do it. Can you think of a time when you have thought about somebody else and you made a choice that was hard for you but ended up being good for them? There's a storybook about two turtles, and they find a hat, and they both really want the hat. But then they decide that since they both want it so bad, they're actually just gonna leave it there, because they realize that their friendship is more important than the hat. And they both knew deep inside, if either one of them had the hat, they'd be a little bit jealous and a little bit sad. Maybe even a little bit angry sometimes at the person who had that. So they left it there and they stayed friends for a really, really long time. Can you think of a time when you have made a choice that was hard for you but helped you stay friends? I can think of a few in my life. I bet you can too. Can you say a prayer with me and ask God to help us when we have to make those tough choices, and when we think about other people when we make choices, even though it's hard for us? Okay, let's pray together. God, thank you for always loving us. Help us to always remember other people's feelings when we're choosing our own words and actions. Help us to love the way we want to be loved, to love others that way. Help us to love others the way that you would love them, even when those simple things are hard to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray together. God of all patience, we, your people, have grown weary. The pandemic, an election, these days have grown oh so long. We complain and we question. We put you to the test. Our mouths say yes, but our deeds don't measure up. Help us, O God. When we wander off your path, when we fail to follow through on our good intentions, when we give our attention to trivial things, gently call us back to you. We boldly pray this day that you would empty our hearts of anger and pride, empty our spirits of greed and selfishness, empty our minds of envy, doubt, and mistrust, so that we may receive your gracious spirit and our neighbor with welcome and gladness. As you poured out your very self through your beloved Son, pour your Spirit into our hearts today. Hear the supplications and the gratitude of your people. Forgive us in all of our wrongdoing. Reclaim us with your love. And remind us ever again that you who created us will provide even in these days. And we pray with gladness, with faith, with trust, with hope, and with joy in that same name, Jesus the Christ, above whom all angels bend their knee, and we on earth can do the same with reverence and love. Amen.
Today's scripture reading comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in a human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him, and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I've never been much of a baseball fan. Until recent years, when my husband has been helping me to see and understand the strategies. You see, I grew up in a football family, watching football games with my dad, memorizing the names of great quarterbacks and receivers and trying my very best to understand all the rules and the penalties so that I could know how to interpret the game as it unfolded in real time, not waiting on a ref to call the play for me. I got used to the fast pace of football and the instant gratification of a good quarterback who could throw and hand off or quickly run the ball down the field. Baseball, on the other hand, always seemed a little bit slow, a little less interesting. And all those statistics involved, they just made my eyes want to glaze over. But in this last decade, since I've been married to Justin, I've been learning a little bit more about baseball, about the traditions and superstitions, the long strategies and the silent communications that happen between players in what might seem like downtime to an unknowing onlooker like myself. Part of this new education includes learning a bit about some of baseball's lesser known stars. Of course, I knew about Babe Ruth and about Jackie Robinson, but until this last week, I had never heard the name Bob Feller. Feller was a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians in the 1930s. His emergence into Major League Baseball was perhaps unmatched by any other player before him. In his debut season in 1936, his name was all over the headlines after he struck out 8 St. Louis Cardinals in 3 innings, and then went on to strike out 15 batters in a game against the St. Louis Browns. From all appearances, Feller was on his way to superstardom. Over the next several years, Feller continued to thrive in Major League Baseball. And by the age of 23, he had already thrown a no-hitter and with his teammates won 107 games in the major leagues. And then Pearl Harbor happened. After the attack, Feller was the first major leaguer to enlist in the military, leaving behind his emerging baseball career and abandoning all the opportunities for fame and glory that were unfolding before him. Many athletes of this caliber would have made a different decision. Perhaps a more logical one, one that focused them on their own individual goals. But Feller had a deeper sense of community responsibility, which led him to make the more difficult decision, well, at least in terms of his own life and career. The tension between individual and collective well-being is one that really spans all of human history. And for Christians, it finds its roots in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a tension that emerges in the earliest Christian churches and communities, and it is the subject of many Pauline epistles, even the ones that we find in our New Testament. To the church in Philippi, Paul writes the beautiful words that we read just a moment ago, words of encouragement and affirmation, words of unity. It's widely noted that this is the most affectionate of Paul's letters. Of all the letters he wrote to the early churches, this is the one that includes the most affirmation. And that tells us that Paul's relationship with the Philippian believers was a good one. But even still, the Philippian church is not perfect. It seems there's been a falling out amongst a couple of members, and so Paul writes and addresses the situation, reminding them of their one and only purpose, which is living the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Paul, that gospel is summed up by the ancient hymn that he quotes in verses 5 through 8. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in form God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, a human, and humbling himself, obedient even to the point of death, even death on a cross. This was the focus of the Philippian church. This was the mission, the vision, the calling, the thing around which they were all to be unified, humbling themselves, submitting themselves to the work of God's kingdom, which was unfolding in their world, even if it meant death on a Roman cross. Some scholars believe that that very last part, even death on a cross, was added to the original hymn by Paul in order to drive home his theological point. You see, we might be reading this in a day and age in which the cross is purely a religious symbol, one that we expect to find in our religious literature. But Paul wrote this letter from a Roman jail cell in a world in which the cross was an ever-present symbol of torture and death. Perhaps this is why that phrase, even death on a cross, was so important, so critical to Paul's theology. For Paul, and for the earliest Christians, following Jesus meant accepting that you very well might be killed doing it. I wonder what kind of sentence Paul was serving in that jail as he wrote those words. I wonder if death on a cross was a realistic sentence that might be awaiting him. You know, but there is hope. There is hope to be found in this ancient hymn that Paul inscribes in his letter to the Philippians. Because the song doesn't end there. It doesn't end with that line, "even death on a cross." No, there's a second verse that reminds us that God lifts up the one whom the cross has left for dead. This is the encouragement. This is the promise. This is the hope that's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That no matter what may come, when we are unified, when we set our minds on Christ, when we humble ourselves for the sake of others, when our mission is unified on healing the sick, on feeding the hungry, and on bringing hope to our hopeless world, that is being of the same mind, the mind of Christ. There are and always will be a million available distractions. Like the little quarrels that were emerging within the fellowship of the Philippian church, we will always have opportunities to let our differences pull us apart from one another and tear our focus away from our mission in this world. Perhaps now more than ever, we are at risk of allowing that to happen. But if there is any hope at all, any encouragement in Christ, any joy to be found in our shared calling as disciples of Jesus the Christ, perhaps it might be found in this same ancient hymn, the one that reminds us of a God who set aside all self-interest in order to become like us, in order to understand our struggles and to show us a pathway of humility and love and service. That baseball player that I read about this week, Bob Feller, he was able to set aside his own personal goals, his own talents even, his own ambitions, in order to participate in something that was much, much bigger than he was alone. And in so doing, he risked not only his career, but also his life. Luckily, he survived the war and was able to return to baseball. And after returning to pitching, he had 3 no-hitters, 12 one-hitters, and with his teammates, he went on to win 266 games in the major leagues. But even still, he was not awarded some of the same accolades and rewards that he probably deserved. Some say that he's the most underrated major league player of all time, and they credit that status to his decision to enlist in the military rather than continue growing in fame on the baseball field. Feller was once asked if he regretted the decision that he'd made. And his response was simply, "No. I've made so many mistakes in my life," he said, "but that certainly wasn't one of them." Our individual lives and our life shared together as a church are made up of many defining moments. Moments in which we must choose to focus on the gospel, which calls us to look beyond ourselves for the sake of our neighbors, even when we know that path will lead us straight to a cross. But even as we look down that path, recognizing exactly where it leads, we can cling to hope because we know that there is encouragement in Christ. There is consolation and love. There is joy in the gathering of the church, and there is hope, great hope, in humility. Because when we are unified, when we are of the same mind, when we are unified and focused on our mission, sharing the mind of Christ who always regarded others as better than himself. When we share that mind in that love and in that service, we know that despite how it looks from our view, God is going to work among us, around us, and within us. And everything is going to be all right. Amen.
together and feel all right. One love, one heart, saying give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right. Saying let's get together and feel all right. Whoa, 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 whoa. Let all them pass, all their dirty remarks. There is one question I'd really love to ask. Is there a place for the hopeless sinner who has hurt all mankind just to save his own? Believe me now, one love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right. One love, one heart. Give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right. Saying let's get together and feel all right. One more thing. Let's get together to fight this holy Armageddon. So when the man comes, there will be no doom. Have pity on those whose chances grow thinner. There ain't no hiding place from the God of creation. Saying one love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right. One love, one heart. Give thanks and praise to the Lord, and I will feel all right. Saying let's get together and feel all right. Oh, let's get together and feel all right.
We're so glad to have you worshiping with our Greystone community this morning. As we remain physically distanced, it's comforting to be with this welcoming community that stays so spiritually connected in the love of Christ. Please feel free to extend that love and welcome to others and show how God continues to work in our community by sharing content from Greystone's website, our Facebook and Instagram accounts, and our YouTube channel on social media. Even as we operate remotely and virtually, we can find new ways to connect and continue building a church of living stones. I'd also like to take a moment to remind you about all that's happening next Sunday. Next Sunday, October 4th, is World Communion Sunday, a day when Christians around the world celebrate the Lord's Supper. This year, we will celebrate communion as part of our online worship service and, hopefully, as part of our outdoor gathering taking place next Sunday evening. At that gathering, we will ordain and install our new deacons and enjoy a concert from two of Greystone's own musicians. The ordination and installation will begin online in the virtual worship service and will conclude in the sawmill lot at 4:15 p.m. with a drive-through adaptation of the traditional laying on of hands. At 5 p.m., a concert featuring Pepper Choplin and me, Christian McIver, will begin near the picnic tables beside the lead mine lot. Bring your lawn chairs, your families, and perhaps even a meal to enjoy during this socially distanced outdoor gathering. We look forward to seeing you there.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.